So let's reflect a little on our readings today. Are you ready for anything? Jesus says we should be, because nobody knows God's timing. Jesus' listeners were told to expect the Son of Man at any time. It's assumed that Matthew, when he wrote this gospel and this section of his account, was thinking about the destruction of the temple, which happened in AD 70. As Matthew was writing, it's thought, just after that time. And so he was aware of the fact that the temple was destroyed in AD 70. And he was linking Jesus' prophecy to that. And that was the climax of the war at the time between Judea and Rome. It was a pivotal event in the history of Jerusalem. And it was devastating because the temple was the place of worship for Jews and for Christians. The early Christians with a Jewish background often did not give up going to the temple. They combined Jewish and Christian worship. The same God plus Jesus Christ. That's what one thought is about Matthew's gospel. But perhaps Jesus' command was wider than that. Anything can happen at any time. God may call on us to do something special for him quite unexpectedly. And I want this morning to take a look at Syria. The Christians in Syria used to live quite content alongside the Muslims. And they were fairly content with the government as they felt free to worship. The church, of course, has been in Syria for about 2,000 years. It was one of the earliest churches to be planted in the Middle East. But since the war started and escalated so quickly and violently, Christians have found themselves caught between rival factions. They have to choose between going or staying, leaving everything behind and becoming a refugee, or trying to keep the faith in their places of worship. Those that stay feel that God is calling them to do just that, to stay, even though many buildings have been destroyed. They want to keep the Christian community there in Syria. And one Syrian pastor calls himself an ambassador from heaven to Syria. And he says if all the ambassadors leave the church in Syria, then the church will disappear. The churches that remain, however, have become centers of relief. And they are distributing aid not only to Christians, but to anyone who calls and requests help. God is calling these Christians to reach out with the few resources they have and to accept people of another faith. And churches are now seeing people converting to Christianity because of the love that they have shown to others. And so they are being a light for the people of Syria. Let's go back then thousands of years to the time of Isaiah. The prophet was calling for peace, swords to be beaten into plowshares. Well, peace for Judeans at the time was to live on their own land and to farm it. Hence the need for plowshares instead of swords. Peace for them was living and farming and reaping the harvest. Family and land went hand in hand. Land was handed down from generation to generation. But the people of Judah were often under threat of invasion. Their country was at the crossroads, as it is now, between east and west and north and south. And lots of nations wanted control of their little bit of land that connects Asia to Africa and to Europe. And hence the conflict that occurred so often in that land of Judah and Israel. And Isaiah offered them this vision of peace, a message of hope and reassurance. And I think it's the same message that God offers us through the coming of Jesus Christ, a message of hope and reassurance, a message of peace. Because Jesus came as the light of the world to show the way to peace. And hence, of course, our use of candles and lights through this period of Advent. But it is a challenge too, and the challenge is for us to walk in the light, to stay in the light, and to be alert to God's calling. Taking part in the celebration of Holy Communion, as we shall do today, gives us the chance to catch the light, to confess and to seek forgiveness, to recognize our blessings and to receive sustenance, to be redirected as well, if need be, onto the way of love and peace. So as we journey through Advent, may we take up that challenge to seek out the light, to find again the peace that Jesus brings, and to follow the way of peace, because God calls us to be peacemakers too. Today, as I said, is the beginning of the new year for the church, and I wonder what you would like to see in the new year for your church, be it the building or the fellowship. What would you hope and pray for? I think I should pray for us as a church to keep alert and ready, alert to new possibilities and ready to accept a challenge. Just like those Christians in Syria have had to do in the past year or two. Because God may call on us to do something totally unexpected at any time. So we need to be alert for that.